Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from our new studio outside of, or inside, I should say, Max 6, the Conscious Capitalism headquarters for Arizona. And I am very pleased to introduce you today to Mitch Pizik, founder and CEO of the Pizik Consulting Group, where executive coaching and business consulting takes place on a regular basis with many, many years of experience behind them and really focused on entrepreneurs and senior level executives. Welcome to the studio, Mitch.
Oh, thanks, Karen. Great to be here. By the way, congratulations on your 1 year anniversary.
Why, very thank exciting. You. It is. Yeah. 400 business leaders and business owners have come through the studio doors. A lot of people say, well, have you slept at all this year? I really don't know that I have, but it's been very exciting. I think we've had just over 250 actual interviews. You can see multiple microphones in the studio, but thank you for being part of our brand new year. And I know that we got connected through the parent company in Atlanta.
Yeah, we did. We did. And I'm really great we're able to figure out to organize our schedule so we're able to do this.
I appreciate you doing that. And I know you had mentioned that you'll be in Tucson. We have another studio opening in Tucson early July. And I think you're going to be one of the first, if not the first guest.
Yeah, the first one on July 2nd. So very excited.
Well, we're happy to have you with us. So get us caught up. Tell us about Pizik Coaching.
Sure. So I've done consulting on and off for about 15 years. And during that time, though, I'd spent about 17 years working for some of the largest global companies in the world, Kraft, Newell Rubbermaid, Novartis, Gerber, in finance operations, supply chain, and ultimately global business development. And then I spent the next 15 years, I was hired four times as CEO to turn around and grow different portfolio companies for different private equity firms. And then in 2016, I decided to take all that knowledge and accomplishment and so on, and then start full-time my own executive coaching and business consulting practice. And it's been going great. It's very, very rewarding to work with clients and then see them flourish, and they're hiring more people and exceeding their aspirations. And it's great to be part of that.
And what does a program look like when folks work with you? Are you working with just the C-level executives? Are you working with their entire team? Tell us a little bit about what that would look like.
Sure. Well, to answer your question, yes. Sometimes it's with individuals. Sometimes it's with teams. The team part would be a lot of times facilitation for like annual strategic leadership retreats. Sometimes I'm hired to work, from the owner to work with different people on his or her team. But most of it is really one-on-one, either with a senior level executive or usually it's the entrepreneur, him or herself. And I always start the same way. Everyone I work with, I always start out by, I always ask he or she, how do they define success in the next 6 months and 2 years? I always start with that and make sure we both have a terrific understanding of what it is they're trying to aspire to. And then from there, all of my focus is all on making sure that they achieve or generally exceed how they define success. And it's really about focusing their resources, time, people, and money to making that happen. And it really works great. And then there's also, I go through how they spend their time in a lot of detail. And then ideally, how would they like to spend their time, right? Because nobody spends all day doing exactly what they want.
Right.
And then we spend really most of our time then working on that delta. Where is it they're not spending their time as they'd like? And then I do the same with their senior people. And what almost always happens, it almost always happens, great when it does, is they'll ultimately end up spending the same or actually less time on the business, but the business flourishes because now they're spending more and more of their time in the areas where they have the most interest and passion and what is geared towards making their business a success. And when you see that happening, it's great. It actually provides them with more of a balance. And I could call it, no entrepreneur has a balance per se, but more of a balance in their personal and professional life. And it also, they enjoy what they do more. They feel they have more of a control over their time in their business. And their existing team or the team that they bring on, you know, also is focused on success and so on.
It sounds like you help them find their sweet spot.
It really does. Well put. Yes.
Yeah. And stay in there. The term that's probably overused is find their zone of genius. Like, you know, where do you like to stay and play? And in order to grow the business, who else can you put in place to make sure these things are managed so that you don't have to? Is there a piece of it that?
Yeah, it's a good point. A zone of genius, or a lot of times I use the word passion a lot, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it they really want to do? Because you've got a lot of entrepreneurs that have a vision of kind of an end game, end result, but they don't always have the context or the experience to really know how to get there. And you know, I've been very fortunate in my career, having worked for some of the largest companies and a lot of smaller companies, say $5 million to $100 million, that I've been where they want to go. I've gone through what they're going through. So I'm able to very rapidly help them identify and then support where they want to spend their time, what they're trying to accomplish in the business, help them connect those dots. And once it kind of clicks, which it clicks pretty quickly, it's very rewarding for everybody.
With your background being with some of these robust companies that have been around forever, how was it for you to make this transition to now be, you know, someone on the outside helping these large sure. companies? It's a unique background. So many people that I know really start with either an academic degree or psychology or physiology.
I'm glad you brought that up, because most people that do what I do either have exactly that. They're either academics or they're psychologists, okay? And I'm neither. I'm a business guy, okay? I mean, I do periodically teach strategic leadership at the university, but really, I'm a business guy, right? So, and that's why there really is a difference between an executive coach and a business consultant. And I really have kind of a unique hybrid of that, because I'm not a life coach. I'm not going to tell anyone to eat more kale, okay? And when they have a specific challenge at work, because I've been through it, I'm able to get to the result very quickly. And we don't spend a lot of time talking about, we can get to the root cause of issues very quickly, because I said, I've been through it. And then from there, we then move on to the next stage. And that really resonates with them. You know, that really does. It, you know, there's a tremendous amount of productivity, effectiveness, and efficiency in how we work the program and how they rapidly get to their definition of success.
I love that, because your definition of success or the world's definition of success isn't always in alignment with someone who can be and likely is already wildly successful. Sure. But you help them really track and find a way to get to whatever it is means for them.
It does, Karen. In fact, it's very interesting. Sometimes we have a very good definition of how they define success, and then you know, they'll then want to spend some time doing something else, you know, at a certain point. And I'll always come back and say, you know, you can obviously do whatever you want, but this isn't going to move you towards how you define success. Does that mean you want to change how you're defining success? And the answer is no, you're right. I'll get back on track. Right. But it always becomes, you know, their decision. But like I said, I help in the decision-making process for it. And, you know, it's interesting to work with entrepreneurs, because they what many of them appreciate is that many, maybe most of the most successful athletes and politicians and business executives have a coach. And there's a reason for that, is that if you own your own business, you're the only position that doesn't really have anyone there really looking out for them. And nobody is confident 100% of the time on every decision, right?
Right.
Now, you've seen that. So,
seen it. I've experienced it.
well, I doubt that, but still. So you never want to share your insecurities with your people for obvious reasons. You know, you can be part of a group, so you're like 1 out of 10, okay? You can go to your spouse or significant other, but they don't necessarily have the context.
Right.
But when you've got a coach or a consultant that's totally focused just on what you want to accomplish, and if they've got a lot of business experience, they can add context, okay, that can have a huge impact. And I found that, you know, I've got clients all over, okay, but a fair number of them are in Arizona. And a lot of the people I work with in Arizona, you know, they were born here, they went to school here, they started a business here. So, and many of them are very, very gifted, but they haven't experienced working for giant companies. They haven't experienced working for private equity. So they don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's very, and they find it very helpful to have that kind of a context offered to them that help them to move in the direction that they're looking for.
I want to go back to something you said when we started speaking about this piece of it. So many of our industry leaders are actors, are athletes, politicians, folks that we look to for areas of expertise do have coaches, and some of them have multiple coaches, right? The health and wellness or the life right. coach. They're going to tell you to eat kale right. to business or voice or yep. speech, you name it. And that's an indication that when you are committed to lifelong learning and success in that, you've got to look outside of your immediate circle to get that guidance. And I would imagine, please guide me in the right direction if I'm missing this, but to be that entity for a company and or an individual and the leaders, you get to see their experiences through a different lens. Because if they're in it, they don't necessarily see what they're leaving out, what they've missed, and you get to be an arm's length away, but also pulled in as part of that team member when needed. Am I right?
Yeah, Karen, it's a great point. You're absolutely right. And what's interesting a lot of times is what, you know, when you've worked all around the world, okay, and you've experienced a lot of different aspects of business and leadership and hiring people and so on, things that might seem common sense or standard operating procedure really aren't. I'll give you an example where I worked with a manufacturer. I'm working with a manufacturer that's a family business, extremely successful, you know, pushing about $50 million a year, but they're having a really hard time hiring highly qualified people for their senior level positions. And they're far from unique in that. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll work with them on how to, you know, how to attract, hire, inspire, and retain world-class employees.
And attract, hire, inspire, and retain. I love yes. that because it's all that, isn't it?
It really is. And those are four very specific aspects of it, right? And that's a lot of what I do. And so much of it is telling their story. You know, that some of the most successful people I know are actually relatively humble and or they don't realize what they've accomplished is actually awesome compared to most people. So like I tell them, look, you've got such a great story to tell. That's what's going to attract people to come to you. And then once they're there, there's a way to inspire employees so they don't want to leave. You know, Phoenix is growing far faster than, you know, the national average. Tucson is adding thousands of jobs and a lot of high qualified jobs, you know. And so, you know, more and more people are having a harder time competing with that. But there is a way to do it. There's absolutely a way to do it. They can be very successful. But if you haven't ever left Arizona, you might not know these other things, right? Because just haven't been exposed to them, just as one example. Another is I work with a law firm, okay? And they have offices both in Tucson and in Phoenix. You know, very successful, right? But this is run by a woman who is who actually, although she's the best at what she does, she was reticent to raise her fees. And we went through that, and it turns out she did, and she did it a certain way. And now she's even more successful than before, but it was like she hadn't done that before. Right. So there are just different aspects of business that can really help people to really flourish.
What is your greatest joy in this? Again, it sounds like it's a second act for you. You had sure. been successful in sure. the corporate world for many, many years yep. now, at this for several years now. Right. What is the greatest joy? Answer that. And then also kind of what is the difference for you personally and professionally now that you're in this mode?
Sure. Well, when I was running businesses, I was very, it really meant a lot to me that my employees flourished, okay? And I would hire the best, and then I would make sure that they had the opportunity to exceed their personal aspirations. So it's the same kind of a philosophy I bring sure. I bring to this. It's so rewarding to me to see, you know, to come into all different kinds of businesses and help them exceed their aspirations. For example, I'm working with a big developer. Okay. Well, actually, a medium-sized developer, okay, you know, that was opening up, or he was acquiring, it's multifamily homes and like 40 and 50 unit apartments. He was opening about one a year, and I've been working with him to increase his infrastructure. And now he's opening up four a year. He's buying and rehabbing like four a year. I mean, it's dramatically increased his business, but it was all me working with him on having, creating an infrastructure that would allow him to achieve what he wanted without him having to increase the time he spent on areas that he wasn't interested in. Right. And that's so rewarding, you know, to do that. I actually worked with a musician who decided after work with him, he actually wanted to go more into publishing, right? So that's, you know, he's flourishing in it, right? So just to see people achieve what they want is extremely rewarding in every way, you know, for me and so on. And the way I always look at it is, it's not just the entrepreneur. It's the entrepreneur and his or her family, and the families of everyone that works for him or her. And then really, depending on the business, it also helps, you know, their clients. A lot of these are B2B. It's probably more B2B really than B2C in a lot of areas. So, you know, to be a part of that, you know, is terrific. Really is.
Love it. And how has your life changed then, right, if anything at all, right, moving from corporate?
Sure. So, like I said, I started out in big business, right? Then I moved into private equity. Okay. And in private equity, there's never enough of a runway. There's never enough time, you know, time, people, or money. It's always too much debt, right? So you need to really understand very quickly how to build a world-class team, how to inspire the team, know what the key metrics are, and then to deploy your resources in a way, because you can't make a lot of bets. You got to really know what you're doing, right? And so, because I've worked in successfully in so many different industries, I'm able to go into almost any industry now, really, because I find about 85% is the same wherever you go, as far as understanding what the metrics are and how to create a winning team. And about 15% is industry or business specific. So what's different now is that during the week, I'm working with a whole variety of different businesses, and in different levels of success and with different challenges and so on. I was never bored before. Okay.
But so that's clear. You.
but you got to always stay on top of things. The other thing that's great about it is that, the more clients I have, right, the more information that I come across in all my readings and studies that I can provide to them. So you're constantly, increasing the value you're bringing to them. The other thing is that I've got what I call a constellation of professionals, right? So, and I love helping their businesses, right? So I have a number of attorneys I work with in different areas. I've got another developers in different areas. I've got a number of manufacturing operations, number of service operations. So a lot of times I'm able to actually put them together so that it helps their businesses, which is great. I also have a number of just a very small number of other professionals that are friends, and I'm also able to help this out. So it's a very virtuous circle from that standpoint.
And clients all over the country.
Yeah.
Not just in Arizona.
Right.
So you meet with them via Zoom, the phone, do you fly out, they fly here. How does that work for those who are not lucky enough to be right in your backyard?
Sure. It depends on what they want to do.
Okay.
Okay. So we can do Zoom. We can do it on the phone. It's really whatever's convenient, because sometimes you're working with people, it's just easy sometimes just to be on the phone, which works fine. Usually there's not flying back and forth unless either one of us happens to be in the same town, for example. Mm-hmm. Then we'll do it. But there's always a tremendous amount of information that it's so easy now with technology, to send information back and forth in Google Notes and so on and so forth. So it depends on what is most efficient and effective for the client.
Excellent. So we kind of joked a little bit about the difference between business coaching or business consulting and life coaching.
Right.
Let's add that element of executive leadership coaching in there as well. How would you describe the difference between those?
So, and then you can also throw training there also, right?
Yes.
Okay. So technically, a an executive coach doesn't ever like really give you the answer. They ask you a bunch of questions till finally you come across it. Okay. Which can be take a lot of time, which I suppose for the coach is beneficial. With just my professional background, time is kind of relevant. Okay. So I don't tend to draw, I never draw things out. Okay. If we can come up with an answer in 10 minutes, I'd rather do that than over 3 weeks kind of a thing. But anyway, so an executive coach doesn't really give the answers. Okay. Then you have a consultant that oftentimes you kind of work together to come to the answers pretty quickly. Then you've got a trainer where there's a specific project per se, where you're actually training people on how to do a specific task and so on. And executive leadership really ties a lot of it together where you really have, where the I really call it the project is to expand the competency of either the leader and or his or her people to become, you know, to become leaders, if you will. And it's funny. I give a lot of presentations. I'm hired for leadership, and I always start the same way, Karen. I always say there are thousands of books, tens of thousands of articles on what's a leader, and to save you all a lot of time, I always say this is the absolute definitive best answer of definition of a leader. If people follow you, you are, and if they don't, you're not.
I love that.
Right, and you have to give people a reason to want to follow you, right? You know, people have choices. So if you're the kind of person that has the vision that such that success as defined by the company is the same as that they can connect the dots to their personal aspirations. And if the person is bright and there's a certain degree of empathy, okay, people will follow you. I mean, when I was running businesses, every once in a while, I'd have to pull aside, one of my best employees, you know, in different businesses. And I'd say, look, I appreciate the loyalty you have to me, the loyalty you have to the company. And I know you'd go through a brick wall for us, but if there's a door, it's okay to take the door.
Because
right?
You'd see who, you saw who they are.
Yeah. You see who they are and you appreciate how hard they work to be a success, mm-hmm. but it doesn't always have to be hard.
Right.
Somebody can just go through a door, right?
Oh, sure.
You know, But that gets back to what we talked about before about if the leader, you know, stories are really important. And when I say a story, I mean, obviously, I'm talking, you know, accurate, but having people be able to visualize how their life is better being on your team than if it's not. The other key part of that ties in with executive leadership is that A players hire A players, B players hire C players, and C players will put you out of business.
Wow.
And you have a responsibility. If you hire somebody that's an A player, okay, here's where a lot of people do it wrong. They got a bunch of B and C players on the team. They hire, let's say they hire you, Karen, you come in, you're an A player, and they think, well, everyone else is going to move up. It never works that way. If you're really an A player, one of two things are going to happen. You're going to move down or you're just going to move out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if somebody hires someone that's an A player, they have a responsibility to make sure that person is surrounded by other A players. Right. And that's really key because if you've got someone on your team, and this is all about executive leadership, like you asked about, if you have people on your team that are not excelling and don't have the potential to excel, you're going to drag down the morale and the inspiration of the other people on the team.
I love that you're sharing this piece around the community, and helping those executive leaders establish the right team.
Right.
Has there come a time in your career where you've had to say, like, turn somebody and say to them, look, I know you love or care for this person or these people, but if you look through this lens, they're not cutting it. I'd imagine that has to be part of the conversation.
Okay. Great question. Okay, so remember I said I always start out with how do they define success,
mm-hmm.
right? And they have a certain decision. And then everything can come back to that.
So right? It's not about you. It's not a personal decision. It's you get to say, based on the metrics of what you're saying success is, this doesn't seem to be congruent or in alignment.
Well, that's just it. That's okay. So like I'll say, okay, you said that you want to grow this amount, you want to increase your productivity, you want to have less turnover of your key people, so on and so forth. I say, okay, so based on that, you know, let's look at some of these people. And you said that there's always a brother-in-law involved, right?
Oh,
okay,
yes.
So you know, okay, so your brother-in-law, you know, you have these issues with them, or this person isn't hitting their sales numbers, you know, and so there's an agreement that they're not A players. So then I say, and this always works, I'll say, well, so having these people on your team is going to keep you from achieving how you define success. Does that mean you want to change how you define success? And the answer is no, I don't want to change that.
Then okay, this has to be dealt with.
Then this is how we have to handle it. I have a client that, you know, incredibly successful in a service organization she has. And she actually, though, had never fired anyone before. Just never happened, right? And there was someone that I could see that was just, she had to keep redoing his work. And so it is like, I'm not going to say to a client, you have to fire someone. You know, you want them to come to that conclusion. But I said to her after about 6 months, I said, how long is it appropriate for one of your employees to be there where you don't have to redo their work? And she saw my point, and then we worked together on how to get that person replaced. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was just context, right?
Yep.
Very successful woman, very smart, but just she didn't have the context of that, right? And then she got somebody else that was, of course, great, and now she's flourishing. So it all comes – so that way, when you keep having the flag in the ground of what success is defined as from your client, almost every decision becomes easier to establish, mm-hmm. because it's either helping you or hurting you from that standpoint.
I got this image of you just now like a lighthouse, you know, and you're the one holding the light for companies to have them keep bringing it back to that.
Yeah.
So that it's really clear.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. It also helps the conversations, because you have a client, you know this, right? If you have a client for a period of time, you know, there's a certain amount of, you know, warmth and friendship, you know, they can is created, right? But it's so important to me that the time that I'm with the clients is extremely extremely valuable, as they would see it. So sometimes you meet with someone, say they come back from a vacation and they want to talk about the vacation, and I really rapidly bring it back to the business.
They look to you for that, don't they? Even though they want to get away with it, maybe because they have created a friendship with you.
Yeah.
But your role, obviously, is to make sure they stay on target and stay on point. And that's not to say that you don't enjoy being with them.
All right.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, because, you know, it, you can argue that, well, they're the client. They can talk about anything they want. But the truth is at the end of the hour, if I would just talk about their vacation, did I really add a lot of value? Right?
Yeah, and that's what they are paying you the good money to do, is to
make sure
that you are holding them accountable to that. How much do you find that you have to work with folks around mindset? Because I hear that the work that you do is really a hybrid between executive leadership coaching, strategic planning, also the whole piece around assembling and keeping the right team. How often do you find that you really help these leaders with their mindset?
You know, I would say that probably 80% of my clients did not have a coach before. I'm the first one they've ever had.
Okay.
And so there's a big leap of faith as far as that goes, because they don't know really what to expect. I mean, I've got a contract and I explain it, but still they don't know.
It's new territory for them.
It's new territory for them. That's exactly it. But what I find is that I would say, I can't think of an exception to this, is that I exceed their expectations, because so rapidly, you know, we hone in on what their challenges are in the business and we just chip away at it. You know, solve that. You know, so they're thrilled with that. Okay. A bigger challenge is getting people that haven't had a coach before, or that had a bad experience with a coach, to have them do it again.
Yes.
You know, there's only so much you can do with that. You know, there's only so, I mean, I've talked to some, I can think of a couple of places that, you know, they're having problems. You know, I know just what I would do to help them out, but they just don't want to, and that's okay. You
know? I'd rather know that up front than to have them start in relationship with me and know that, you know what, there's just going to be somebody else then who's willing to show up and do the work. Because you're not doing the work for them.
No.
It isn't what you're signing up for, but you're getting them guided in the right direction, and then again, holding them accountable to that.
You know, that's exactly what it is. In fact, there's only been one client that actually didn't work out. And that was a few years ago. But what happened is, you know, we talk about success, and then he kept changing it.
Yes.
And, you know, he wanted to move up in this business, then he wanted to go in philanthropy, then he wanted to going a whole nother direction. And at a certain point, it's like, I can help you with anything.
Right. But just land on one.
But land on one, because if you keep changing it, I'm not, you know, then we got to keep restarting. Right. And, but that's extremely rare, you know, something would happen.
And yet it's important to have that experience, much like the executive that you were working with that hadn't ever had the experience of firing someone before.
Right.
I kind of, and I don't like to admit this, but I became that person who was really responsible for having to let people go because so many other people found it too emotional, too hard to do. But I'm grateful for that experience because I learned how to do it tactfully. I learned to give them the boost that they needed to, you know, head out that door. Sure. And find a better path. And equally importantly, maintain the integrity of the company or the group of people that I was working with. And so I feel like a kinship between you and I that sure. sounds like that's the same thing that you have had to experience in your career. And while it doesn't ever feel very good, we know that it serves an important purpose for everybody involved, even the person who's been asked to move on.
Yeah, you're absolutely, you know, it's a great point. It's a really good point. And then the other side of it, besides letting someone go, is how to bring someone on board. And I was working with a developer last Friday, and you know, he was, you know, his business is doing great now. He's expanding. He actually asked me to sit in when he was interviewing a candidate. And once again, as far as context goes, you know, he's very successful, but he's always been in Tucson. His business is in Tucson. He went to school in Tucson. So he just didn't have context. And so I was asking the candidate a number of questions that he hadn't, to really kind of ferret out some really key things. And then, you know, certain things like that you and I would, you know, would find just common sense isn't always done. Like, for example, when it comes to references, you know, the owner should always be the one that calls references. And there are very specific questions to ask to really ferret out, you know, is it the right person? So some of it's actually pretty tactical. Overall, it's strategic, but there are some definite tactical aspects to what we do that really adds a lot of tremendous amount of value to the entrepreneurs.
Love it. I know that you have had some recent awards, and it isn't often that those kinds of awards catch my eye, but I want to be sure that we share them. In 2016, the Innovation in the Workplace Award from the Society of Human Resource Management. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I was very pleased. That was a real honor that they did that.
2015, the year before that, a finalist for the Copper Cactus Business Leader of the Year. Award in 2016 and 2015. These are not small acknowledgments.
Yeah, it was great. And there were some like just terrific companies that were also nominated.
Yes.
For this. And to actually win those was great. And it's you know, you're part of a team, and to be able as a team to really flourish, and then, you know, to then be recognized for it is it kind of helps you justify the hours you put in sometimes.
Yes.
Right.
And the Tucson Metro Chamber, still involved with them? I know you were, at least in the past.
I'm on the board of the Metro Chamber. Okay. And we're doing really well there. And then also, I'm on a number of other boards, not-for-profit boards, and also mentor young entrepreneurs. And also I get calls every once in a while to provide career counseling. Okay, which is kind of a subset of what I do. And
yeah.
And that's great. I mean, I worked with someone recently who was head of medicine of one of the hospitals in Tucson. And then he ended up getting a job where now he actually moved to the Midwest, even a bigger job, right? So you know, any way you can really help people to really flourish is a very rewarding experience.
Absolutely. So for our listeners who haven't had a chance to know you prior to today, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you? And what's the first step in having an opportunity to work with Mitch?
Sure. Okay, well, they're more than happy to call, you know, call the office at 631-943-5275. 631-943-5275, or my email is mitch@pizik.consulting. Okay. And then all it is just, you know, an email or a call. Then we just, you know, just kind of discuss what is it that they would like to accomplish, what are their goals. And then from there, we'll see if, you know, how I can be of assistance, which is great.
Love it. Thank you again for making time to come and spend your morning with us here at Phoenix Business Radio. And again, we know that our sister studio will get to have an opportunity to hear from you in a couple of weeks. So we'll be tuning in then. And we invite you back again when you are back up this way. We'd love to hear from you another time, Mitch. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, again, broadcasting from our studio in MAC 6, the Conscious Workspace, and the headquarters for Conscious Capitalism of Arizona. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.